very familiar to us, Romans chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse number 19. Verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." We'll pray, and then you can be seated, and I'll get started this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. I'm so thankful, and I do take it seriously, and I just ask that you would use me tonight, speak through me. I pray that we would have a good service here, and just help us to be ready for what you have. I also pray that you would bless everything going on downstairs. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I just want to preach on the doctrine of justification. Now, Pastor, he did give us a list, and for mine he put doctrine of justification. He said tonight I had room to play with that. I didn't. I just went doctrine of justification. Now, the doctrine of justification is big. There's a lot in the Bible about justification. Tonight we're going to use Romans chapter 3 kind of as a home station, and we're going to use it to explain justification. Paul here in Romans is writing, obviously, to the Romans, and he's talking here in chapter 3 about righteousness and justification. Romans is full of glorious doctrine to the believer. There's the doctrine of redemption, salvation, imputed righteousness, justification. There's so many. And to me, justification is probably the most glorious and exciting to someone who is saved. And with the Lord's help, we'll see that tonight. We'll see why. And I can't get into everything. Every point tonight could be weeks and weeks of messages. So if you get bored, just know we're covering a lot of ground. It's Wednesday. I understand. Work is hard. Hey, we come in tired, but the Lord can help us. Amen? All right. If you're ready to go, say amen. Amen. I don't have much of an introduction or a flashy story, but I do have some information about justification. The Bible obviously has a lot to say about righteousness and justification. The word justify or justification is a verb. It's an action. And when it's used in God's word this way, it means to render or prove just or innocent. So it's a very legal term, something that we even use in our judicial system today. Justice, justification, the verb, is the act of being rendered or proven innocent. The other way that it's used in this application is as an adjective. And when it's used as an adjective in God's word, it means equitable or equal. By implication, innocent, holy, or righteous. That's pretty good. So, you know, those words give us a little bit of an understanding, but tonight I want to go over just a few things about justification, hopefully get a clear understanding of how it works and what it is in application to us. The word is used a lot. The verb form of the word appears 48 times in our New Testament. A lot in Romans. Mostly in Romans and then in the Gospels. The adjective form of the word appears 81 times in the New Testament. It's the same. A lot of the words are used in Romans and in the Gospels. Both of these words are also translated as righteous. Righteous. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. We'll see how this word justification is also used as righteous. Revelation 22, verse 11 says, "He that is unjust or not just, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous," that word there is translated righteous with the same meaning of justification. "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." That's the verb form of justification translated as righteousness. Now turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse number 46. Matthew 25, verse 46. We read here, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." That's the adjective form of the word, meaning equitable, innocent, holy, righteous. The righteous into life eternal. You know, the definitions are good, and they help us understand more about justification, but we really got to do a little bit more digging to understand what it is to us as believers, to sinners. As a man thinks, it's a very legal term. I think of a man who stands before a judge, maybe being accused of a crime, maybe a very serious crime. Well, the only way for that man to be just or innocent, to be justified, proven innocent, is to be proven innocent. I know it sounds simple, but to be justified is to be proven innocent. That man cannot be just or righteous until it's proven. Now, our law is innocent until proven guilty. But in a court of law, you're defending yourself. That's what they're trying to do. You're trying to be proven guilty of something. Now, if someone is proven guilty for the crime that they're in court for, standing before the judge, they are not righteous. In fact, they're guilty. And when the judge slams his gavel and he says, "I pronounce you guilty," nothing can ever take that away from that man. He will forever be guilty of that. And it applies to justification because it brings us to our first point, in that there is a huge problem. If you go back to Romans chapter 3, there's a huge problem. You know, the interesting thing about being just is that you have to be proven innocent or holy or righteous. When someone is proven to be guilty, he cannot be justified. He can be pardoned. We see the president and, you know, you see kings and queens granting pardons to people. And that's great, but it does not change the fact that they are guilty. They will forever be guilty. And the same thing applies to us. All right? There's a huge problem. Romans 3, look at verse number 9. Romans 3, 9. We're going to read a little bit of scripture here, and then we'll go back and cover what we're talking about. Romans 3, verse number 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Means that the whole world, Jew or Gentile, is under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And verse number 19 is our problem. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I don't think I need to explain tonight that every one of us is a sinner. Every human that has ever been born, past, present, or future, besides Jesus Christ, is a sinner. And we have received a sinful nature from one man. Turn to Romans 5, just a couple chapters over. This is a huge problem. We're born in sin. We're born with a sinful nature. And because of that, we are sinners. Romans 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That verse there is speaking of Adam. He sinned in the garden, him and Eve, and because of that, every human that has ever been born is a sinner. And we are born, as the Bible says, with death. And so death passed upon all men. This is something that's passed to us. We have no choice. I wish we did. We have no choice. But to be sinners, we will sin. And I know this is very simple, but we're establishing here some groundwork so that we can understand justification. Our problem is we are sinners. Because we are sinners, we are guilty before God. Now, sin, I asked our Sunday school class a few weeks ago what sin is. And one of our bus kids, man, he hit the nail on the head. He said, it's doing anything against God's word. And that's true. Sin is doing anything against God's word. Sin is doing anything that I'm commanded not to do in God's word. But it is also not doing anything or all things that I am commanded to do in God's word. And not only that, sin is not meeting the perfect example set by Jesus Christ. God gave us the law. And as we read in Romans chapter 3, the law is there to show us and to prove that we are guilty. Well, we can't stand before God as righteous. To do that, we would have to stand before God, and we would have to honestly say, I have not broken anything or not obeyed any commandment in your word to do or not to do, and I have perfectly followed the example set by Jesus Christ. And I hope that sounds impossible, because absolutely it is. It's impossible to stand before God as righteous in our own works. Look at Romans 3. We'll stay in this area for a little bit. Romans 3, verse 23. Very, very famous passage of Scripture, but it's true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short because of sin. And because of sin, because we cannot stand before God as righteous, we are guilty before Him. Verse number 19, Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, to stand before God and to claim that we are righteous without justification is absolutely impossible. And this is a huge problem. But if you remember, don't turn back there, but in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, we just read it a minute ago. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Well, because we're guilty before God, we are deserving of His judgment upon us. God's judgment upon sin is death. The Bible says there in Matthew 25:46, these shall go into way into everlasting punishment. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. Because we sin, because we are sinners, we are guilty before God. Because we are guilty before God, we deserve His judgment. And we will receive His judgment if we are not justified. Well, the good news is that we can be justified. And that's what we're going to look at right now. Matthew 25:46, the first part of the verse says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous or the just into life eternal. The second part of Romans 6:23 is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a huge problem. And that problem is that we are sinners. We cannot stand before God and claim to be righteous, claim to be innocent, because we have already been proven guilty. We have been proved guilty by the law, by His word. Well, we can be just. But it's not really in the way that a human, that we as humans would think this is just. You know, when that man stands before the judge and he pronounces judgment because he's guilty, we could say that justice was served, right? Now, the thing about justice being served is that it is equal to the infraction, equal to the sin, if you will, breaking the law. We have laws established so that the punishment for breaking the law is equal to what we did to break the law. Now, God's punishment on sin is absolutely equal. It is just. And He requires justice. Well, we can be just, and that's the good news. So look with me at Romans 3, back in our passage, verse number 22. I want us to notice a few things about justification that will help us understand. We're going to build a little bit more upon the fact that we are guilty. We stand guilty before God, and we will be judged unless we are just. So first, we need to notice that justification is by faith. Justification is by faith. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look down at verse number 28 of Romans 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now that's glorious. To me, to understand that just all I have to do is have faith. And I don't have to do any works. My faith, as we're going to see in Romans chapter 4, look down, can be counted for righteousness. It's not by anything that we do. Any good deed that we do, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I don't think we need help understanding that, but Brother Sam in Sunday school was talking about what that means. The filthy rags were used to scrape the leprosy and the rotted flesh off of a person that had leprosy. Anything that we do that we think, man, this is right, this is just, you know what? The Bible says it is as filthy rags. So nothing we can do can make us just before God except through our faith. Romans 4, look at verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The moment that a sinner repents and puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they can stand before God as just. And they will. They can be justified. And that's a glorious thought to me. That's saving faith. That is saving faith. Abraham there, the Bible says, Abraham, he was justified by his belief. Look at verse number 3, Romans 4, 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham, that word believe there, means that Abraham put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ for his eternal well-being. When we say that justification is by faith, it's saving faith. A lot of people have a head knowledge of God. A lot of people go to a building and do some things that they call worship, but they don't have faith. They don't have saving faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, they will not stand justified before God. That's a scary thought to me. Jesus addressed that. He says, many will testify in my name. There's a lot of people that will testify in Jesus' name. But when the rubber meets the road, they're not going to be justified. They're not going to be just before God. So to have saving faith is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your eternal well-being. At that moment, a sinner is justified. So we see here that faith is the means employed to accomplish justification. Faith is the means employed to accomplish justification. Next, we need to notice this and understand this. Justification is by grace. Justification is by faith, and it is by grace. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified, what? Freely. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor from God. We can receive justification freely. You know, to me, I work for my income, as I'm sure most of you do. And when we do, we don't expect to be given something for free. You know, when it comes to justification, we've done nothing to deserve to be able to stand before God as just. In fact, it's just the opposite. What we do deserve is eternal death, eternal separation from God. Only a gracious God, holy and righteous, could make it possible for us to stand before Him just, for free. Now, it wasn't free, but to us it is free. And that is an exciting thing. We can stand before God as righteous, as just. We can be proven innocent freely. It's by faith, and it is a free gift by grace. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse number 7, Titus 3, 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are justified by faith. Justification by grace reveals that justification is a free gift. Romans 11, 6. I know we're flipping just a little bit, but we're looking at the fact that justification is a free gift because of the grace of God. Romans 11, verse number 6. This verse here shows us the relationship, the correlation between grace and works. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. There are a lot of people that out there today, a lot of quote-unquote religions, that would have us believe that we can work our way to righteousness. A lot of people are going to hell because of that idea. But here, the Bible is very clear. It says, and if by grace, which justification is by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You know, the fact that justification is by grace is a wonderful thought. It's free. We don't have to work for it. Now, the payment was great. More than any human could bear. Jesus Christ went and He was sent to earth, lived a perfect and righteous life in our place. And then He was crucified. He took upon Him all our unrighteousness. I'm getting ahead of myself. But His righteousness is the reason that we can stand before God. That's an expensive payment, but it's free to us. That's an amazing thought. Justification is by grace. Go back to our passage, Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 22. I just wanted to read it again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I know we're flipping a lot. Romans 8. I'm doing this to keep you awake, okay? Did I mention there's 9 pages of notes? Oh my. Romans 8, verse number 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. This verse leads us to our next point. Who justifies? Justification is accomplished through faith. And it is a free gift extended to us by God in His amazing grace. But who justifies? Let's ask that question. Who justifies? We saw there in Romans 8:30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. I think it's pretty self-explanatory at this point, but I think it needs to be established that God is the only one that can justify a sinner. We can only be justified by it's His free gift. It's His grace that allows us to stand before Him as righteous. I think it's pretty self-explanatory and obvious to say that God is the only one that can justify a sinner. God justifies. Romans 3, verse 22. Back to our passage. This is our home station. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Justification is accomplished through faith. It is a free gift of God. And God is the one who justifies a sinner. It's accomplished by God. You know, the amazing thing about justification is that it is available to every person. Here we see that it is unto all. That means that it is available to every person, every sinner. But justification is only upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Justification is accomplished through faith. It is the free gift of God, and God justifies the sinner. And He justifies only those, as verse 22 says, them that believe, for there is no difference. Next, I just want to cover quickly what justification is not, before I get into the definition. And that's going to be the most exciting part, I think. So I'm giving you that now so that you can get, this is the intermission. okay? Go get water, go use the restroom. No, don't do that. But once we define justification, we need to be ready. What justification is not? I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, and I have used this term as well, but I heard probably 100 times the saying, just as if I'd never sinned. Well, it's a neat play on words, and I don't necessarily like just hate it, but I don't think it does justice to what justification actually is. And I think it may help a child to remember justification, and it may help them. But just as if I'd never sinned is not technically correct. It implies that when a sinner is justified, that God restores the sinner to a state previous to sin. But as we established, we are born in sin. Death was passed upon all men. We are a sinner. So when we say, just as if I never sinned, and I've said it, but it implies that we are moved to or restored to a state prior to sin. And that's just absolutely not true. Justification is not just eternal life. We have eternal life because we are justified. But it's not just eternal life. It's not just being saved from eternity in hell, the lake of fire. Justification is not just salvation. And it is. It's all these things. But justification is so much that I think I could not come up with a definition good that did justice to justification. Got that out. Okay, let's define justification. We understand now that, and I hope I was clear, that justification is through faith. It is accomplished through faith. It is a free gift by the grace of God. And it is God who justifies a sinner. Now we still don't understand how or what justifies a sinner. What is justification? Well, like I said, I could not come up with a definition, so I stole one. I borrowed one. A man named Downhame. Know nothing about him, but I do agree with this definition. This is what justification is. Justification is a most gracious and righteous act of God, whereby he, imputing the righteousness of Christ to a believing sinner, absolveth him from his sins, and accepteth him as righteous in Christ, as an heir of eternal life to the praise and glory of his own mercy and justice. And I like that definition, but maybe it's a little too wordy for some of us. Okay? Justification is God accepting a sinner as righteous. You know, and the way that we think about justification is that we have to be proven innocent. Innocent until proven guilty, right? Well, when we're proven guilty, we can never be just. But the glorious truth about justification is that we are guilty, but we can stand before God as just. That's an amazing truth. That, to me, is what makes the doctrine of justification so glorious. We can be just, though we've been proven guilty. Justification, like that definition said, and we're going to use some scripture to back up that definition, but justification is made possible and completed by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 4, verse number 3. And we're not covering all that we could about justification tonight, but I think these are some of the more important things to understand, to get a grasp of this truth. Justification is made possible and completed by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 4, verse number 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is imputed righteousness. Look down at verse number 20, Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, I don't have time to really get into this truth. And this is another amazing truth, the imputed righteousness of Christ. But the idea is that Christ's righteousness at the moment of salvation is laid upon us as if being covered by a blanket. We are covered by the righteousness of Christ. Imputed righteousness is to be covered by Christ's righteousness. If you'll turn to, let me flip my notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 19. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look down to verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A sinner who comes to God in faith will not have his trespasses imputed upon him. They are imputed upon Jesus Christ. He paid that penalty. He took our sin upon himself and paid the penalty that was owed. To receive his righteousness means that our guilt, our sin, is placed upon his shoulders. And his righteousness is placed upon us. That is incredible. And there is no other way for justification to occur. If God does not look at you or look at me and say, he's covered by Christ's righteousness, we cannot be justified. I cannot stand before God without the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is how justification occurs. That is how it's made possible. That's an amazing thought. And I feel like I didn't even scratch the surface tonight. I feel like I didn't do justice to the topic of justification. But I think we understand tonight that there's a huge problem. And if you're here tonight and you've never addressed that problem, tonight is the night. We're not promised another day. And if we stand before God without putting our faith in him, without repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot stand before God as righteous. And if that's the case for you tonight, if you were to stand before God, you're guilty and you will receive the judgment that God has placed upon those that are not just. Look at Romans 5. If you'll turn back there. Romans 5, verse number 1. I'm almost finished. There's a huge problem. Justification can occur through faith. And it is only by God's grace and his free gift that it's possible. God justifies the sinner. And it is made possible and completed by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse number 1, and this is glorious. When a sinner comes to know Christ, when he puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ for his eternal welfare, he is now at peace with God. Romans 5, verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater peace than to be justified. and to know that you are. Maybe there's someone here tonight that is not justified, cannot be justified before God. You will never have peace. And you cannot have peace unless you're justified. Would you stand with me tonight? We'll have a verse of invitation, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you can come forward to an old-fashioned altar. And again, if you're here tonight and you're not sure necessarily what all this means, and maybe you cannot stand before God just, you can come forward. We take a God's word. We won't embarrass you, but we'll take the time to show you how God says that we can be just, how we can put our faith in Him. Let's pray.